Sunday weather from Boston to La Jolla. This is Dr. Dave. Weather headlines tonight include heavy snow, strong winds, and blizzard conditions in parts of the Rocky Mountains and moving through neighboring parts of South Dakota, southern Minnesota, and northwest Nebraska. This storm will cause difficult, if not impossible, travel through tonight into tomorrow. Isolated strong to severe thunderstorms and heavy rains will threaten parts of Kansas, Missouri, and down into Texas and through the southeastern Gulf states. Cheyenne, Wyoming, and Denver, Colorado will see at least another foot of snow tonight, setting all kinds of snow records for this winter, especially for the month of March. The storm will weaken as it moves east, but yet another storm may threaten the nation's midsection by later in the week. More about that later when I talk to you next. I'm Dr. Dave Iser, staff meteorologist for Sterling on Sunday. Next weather at 6 and 36 past every hour on Sterling on Sunday.
All right, it's incredible that we actually continue to have this show. I'm Walter M. Sterling. You and I are together every Sunday night from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Pacific time on KXNT in Las Vegas. Here you and I are going to the third shift, driving home from a long weekend, taking it easy. If you're in an 18-wheeler across Route 80, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. I am live, and I have a phone number. I'll give it to you in just seconds. There's no point in giving you a phone number unless we need it. I have been shocked all week, as you have, by the insane story about Meghan Markle. Now she's filing formal complaints against the British Broadcasting Systems regulatory agency covering ITV about Piers Morgan saying things that were so unnice to her about her mental illness, not believing her. And she's actually filing formal complaints. The funniest thing, though, is everybody I know says, oh, I don't care about that. Oh, it doesn't matter to me. And then they can tell me every single thing about the story. Everything about the story everybody knows. But, oh, I don't care about it. Who cares about a billionaire and two rich people? Oh, my gosh. One of the things that the British monarchy has said they're going to do is bring in an outside law firm to investigate the bullying claims by Meghan Markle. Now, one of the geniuses of the Queen, whether she did it intelligently or instinctively for the entire reign of the Queen, is she has done everything she can to keep the monarchy mysterious. There was a documentary about the monarchy made like in the 60s. It was recorded by the BBC. It was aired once, and then she forbade it from being aired again. There was nothing embarrassing in it, nothing that wasn't true, but she knew that the highest risk she could have is light in the monarchy. You and I can imagine what Buckingham Palace looks like because we imagine the room that she talks to the prime minister in. That's really all we can think of. If you think a little more, maybe you can think of the banquet hall. That's it. We don't know what their bedrooms look like, their meeting rooms. We don't know. It's a huge, obviously a huge palace. We have no idea what's going on in there. We don't know. And she knows the only way that monarchy survives, and it's a small M monarchy. They have no power. It's a small M monarchy. The only way that survives, for whatever spiritual goodness it does for the people of England, is if we know as little about its inner workings as possible. Not because they're secrets, but because it's a mystery. And if we know the truth, if we know the everyday apparitchnik, it'll seem mundane. It'll seem routine. And then she's in trouble. Then she knows nothing's going to work. So when Meghan Markle talks to Oprah Oprah, the most famous woman in the world, more famous than the Queen, when she talks to Oprah and complains, you know, that her feet hurt, that's bad for the monarchy. Not because her feet hurt, but because it's bad for the monarchy to have that sort of exposure, that level of exposure. They have, both sides have reported there's been bullying. Now, if they've ever worked in show business, well, I guess Megan has, if they've ever worked in radio, then they would know what bullying is. But right now, they really have no idea what bullying is. They have invited an outside law firm to investigate the claims of bullying, the claims of inappropriate behavior both on both parties, that Megan wasn't nice to her assistants, her two assistants, and that the older member, the upper members of the monarchy, were not nice to Megan. Oh, my God, can you imagine? These are people who have never had to think twice about whether or not they need a quart of milk or a gallon of milk. They've never had to think twice about that. You and I have had those weeks and months where we've had to go to the supermarket and go, do I really need a gallon? Because I really don't have enough money for a gallon, but do I really need it? They are not aware of the fact that the price of gas has gone up from $2 a gallon in December to $2.79 a gallon in most parts of the country, or much more, in just a mere 6 weeks. Isn't that amazing? Anyway, an outside law firm has been brought in to Buckingham Palace to investigate the claims of bullying. They have some initial findings. Sterling on Sunday, the only radio source, has some of the initial results of the bullying study by an outside law firm. This is what it sounds like.
We have found that members of the royal family have used the fork on the wrong side, thought that the film Coming to America was a documentary, talked to chickens, pronounced Megan as Megan, and made her assistants watch her in the unseen cable show Suits.
I don't know if I can shoulder it by myself for the rest of my life.
You don't have to shoulder it by yourself. You can always come to me.
Little bits.
All right, now, tonight when you call Sterling on Sunday, because this is a live radio show, and I look forward to talking to you. However, we do not tolerate nonsense. If our staff hears anything resembling nonsense, you will hear this.
Weedos.
There you go. Let's listen to that again, the sound of being harassed by a 9-year-old.
Weedos.
All right, it's 14 past the hour, driving across the country on a Sunday night. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday.
Where news and sports and the weather reports and the very best music, too, is heard by the very best listeners, and we mean you.
20 past the hour with Walter Sterling. The name of the show is Sterling on Sunday. Did I talk about the Grammys that took place today? No. Will I? No. Who the heck cares? Nor can I understand what's the difference between the best record of the year, best album of the year, and best song of the year. How do I distinguish those? What's the difference between the record and the song? I'm live with you at 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. I love Reno. Hello, John. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday.
Hello, Walter.
Doctor.
You know, I'm telling you, Walter, this Meghan Markle is a nice girl, but I think she just got in over her head. She got in over her head. She was stressed. She stressed her husband out. They made the move they did, and they resettled in the West. They seem to be doing okay now. I'm sure she's getting some mental health treatment. I think things will blow over and be fine. It's just a question of a girl that got in over her head and panicked. And, you know, she didn't know how to use the resources they had for her, and it kind of got blown up into a brouhaha. There's a lot of things going on with the prince and with the queen, and I think it will blow over and be just fine.
let's put aside the mental health issue. If she has mental health issues that are untreated or treated, that's unfortunate, and I wish her all the best. But she said something that was particularly, what's the technical word, stupid. She said that she really didn't know that the Queen and the monarchy was such a big deal. She had grown up in L.A. where she knew Hollywood stars, but this was, quote, this was a whole different level, end quote. Okay, if it's true that she really didn't know what the British monarchy was, then she's too stupid to have that job. Just too dumb. And, you know,
I won't argue that with you.
In the middle of this pandemic, with 30 million Americans out of work that weren't out of work a year ago, for her to sit there with her $1 million, him with his million, Oprah with her billion, for them to whine about anything rather than getting up off their butts and going and distributing their wealth to poor people. That's all they should have been doing at the time of that interview or to this moment. All they should have been doing is getting in their limousines and going to the poorest part of every town and handing out money. Thank you very much for your call, John. I appreciate it. 888-688-9258. 888-688-9258. That's what they should have done. And if she's so worried about the mental health education and system in England, she should have gotten up off her butt, taken Harry's money, and gone to the mental institutions in the country and made sure that the food was the best, the sanitary conditions were fantastic, the doctors were wonderful. And no time did Oprah say, well, what have you done? Putting aside your problems, Megan, what have you done with your money to help people suffer the way you do? No, she wasn't going to say that. My God, it might blow the interview. Am I the only person on earth who would like to point out that at this point in time, Oprah with those stupid glasses is pretty much irrelevant? Not relevant. She hasn't had a daily TV show in, what, a decade? Who cares about Oprah? How is that important? Give me Jerry Springer any day. Jerry Springer understands how to do a television show. But the whole thing is appalling, and I love it when people say, well, you know, I didn't watch that. I don't care about the British monarchy. You know who my hero is? It's that Piers Morgan. That Piers Morgan is cool. However, I have a different theory about why he walked off the set. Would you like to hear? You know, Piers Morgan was doing Good Morning Britain, which is like Good Morning America, but duller, and he walked off the set when the weatherman insulted him. No, that's right. The weatherman insulted him. I've had enough of this. I'm not going to put up with this. And he got up and walked off the set. However, I find it very interesting that he got up and walked off the set at the five-year mark of his anniversary hosting Good Morning Britain, where he took it from like 500,000 viewers to almost 2 million viewers. So it was a very successful show. 5 years would be about when his contract would have run out. I don't think he did anything big and dramatic and brave. I think his contract had run out or was about to run out, or their negotiations hadn't gone well. And that's when he figured, well, I'm not going to get what I want in a new contract. I'm not going to stay past this contract. Remember, 5 years he'd been there, but I'm going to make sure they knew I was here. And he got up and walked off. That's what I think happened. I think he walked off because his contract was up. 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. And then the other thing that happened in show business that was very disturbing. This was disturbing. There's this great show on Netflix out of the CTC called Kim's Convenience, which is about a Korean-owned store in Toronto, Korean-owned deli convenience store in Toronto, where they sell milk and eggs, and people in the neighborhood sort of hang out and buy lottery tickets, right? You have a store like that. Those are my favorite kind of stores. That's where I spend my time. And, no, really, that's where I spend my time. Have you ever seen this Kim's Convenience? It's a funny show.
The black guy?
Jenny, don't be racist.
What?
You see guy in back?
Yeah.
What you think? Steal or no steal?
You saw him take something?
No, because he's a no steal. He's a no steal because he's a black guy, brown shoes.
He's not going to steal because he's a black guy with brown shoes on?
Black guy, brown shoes, that's a no steal. That's a cancel out combo.
Cancel out combo, got it.
One day you take over store, you have to no steal or no steal.
I'm not taking over the store ever.
White guy, white shoes, that's a steal. Brown woman, blue jacket, that's a no steal. But the lesbian, that's a girl who is the gay. If she's a whistling, she's a steal. But two lesbian, surprise, no steal. Even if a whistling, cancel out combo.
What about a fat Asian gay man with long straight hair and a black lesbian with a ponytail and cowboy boots? Together, steal or no steal?
That's impossible.
What's impossible?
The fat Asian gay.
Appa, there are Asians who are gay, you know.
I know, but the gay Asian is never fat. Only skinny Asian is a gay. That's a rule. That's how they're doing like that. Yeah.
I love that show. They canceled it. Fifth season, end of fifth season. We haven't seen it on Netflix yet, but you can see it on YouTube. You can see the fifth season on YouTube. Four seasons are on Netflix. Big hit, huge numbers, incredibly successful, great press, everything you want. And it's a funny family show. Any member of your family can watch Kim's Convenience. Kim's Convenience. Everybody loved it. Everybody was happy. And what happened? It was canceled. Why was it canceled? Was it canceled by the evil CTC? No. It was canceled because the creator of the show and his partner have decided to move on to other projects, which to me, being in show business, is code for we're not getting enough money. Now, they had already made the deal and the commitment for the sixth season. Maybe it was a rerun issue. Maybe it was a distribution on Netflix issue. But something made them spooked and decided that they did not want to do a sixth season. The cast is devastated. These were the best jobs in Canadian television. These were great jobs. Everybody loved them. These were national heroes because it represented Canada in a loving, sweet, positive way. It represented the Korean community in a loving, sweet, positive way. And it was a hysterical show. It was a funny show. What did they do? They canceled it. All of the letter writing, the Twitter feeds, all that stuff hasn't worked. Funny show. What am I looking at? Keith in Ohio, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hi.
Wow, Mr. Sterling, I got on fast, but I want to say good evening, good morning. And I've only missed you a couple of times, but this is interesting. Can I just say a few things, if you don't mind?
I'd love to hear it.
Okay. One is this, she's older than him, and then basically, I think he bit off more than what he can chew. I think he wasn't disciplined.
You're talking about Prince Harry.
Is he a prince still?
I don't know.
Okay, so I think he's going to have to get a normal life. But what I'm going to say is this, if you don't mind, please just look. I think what's going to happen maybe in 1 or 2 years, there's going to be a divorce, and he's going to wish he never would have did what he did to his brother and his grandmother.
Hey, Keith, pick a date. When are they going to get a divorce?
Well, let's say after, you know, the issues come after everything rolls out. And let me just kind of, I don't know, I haven't had a chance to think about, but give it 2 or 3 years at the most, maybe. And then what he's going to do, he's going to go look and find out where's his importance in his life. And then he's going to deal with maybe issues, and he's not going to have nothing to rely on. The back him up. He's going to have to do it himself. See what I'm saying?
I totally agree. You know, I'd love to argue with you because it's a better show, but I totally agree with you, Keith. Where in Ohio are you?
Oh, I don't want nobody coming over my house and beating me up.
Yeah, no one's going to come to your house, but I appreciate the call. Thank you so much for calling Sterling on Sunday. My number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. We have snow throughout the Midwest. Snow throughout the Midwest. How the hell did that happen? Complete weather coming up in just seconds from Dr. Dave on Sterling on Sunday. This is only
a test. Can you guess the mystery voice? Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday weather from Boston to La Jolla. This is Dr. Dave, and it's been a warm weekend in the southeast, and that will continue for another day or two. Atlanta was in the low 80s, and Orlando, Florida got to almost 90. But this will end soon enough, with Georgia struggling to get out of the 50s by Wednesday. This colliding cold air mass, helped out by a strong jet stream and an upper-level low-pressure system, sets the stage for heavy thunderstorms with large hail and possible tornadic activities in cities like Kansas City, Wichita, Kansas, Oklahoma City, Dallas, Little Rock, Arkansas, and then moving into New Orleans, Nashville, Birmingham, Alabama, and the Florida Panhandle. Meanwhile, it's more rain in California, and a 30% of light snow in Fairbanks, Alaska, with temperatures in the single digits at night and afternoon highs in the teens. This is Dr. Dave saying, beware the Ides of March. I'm Dr. Dave Iser, staff meteorologist for Sterling on Sunday. Next weather at 6 and 36 past every hour on Sterling on Sunday.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Story. Thank you. Thank you. Hey, it's spring break in Florida. Let's check in with the Miami Beach party. This is such a weird scene because it has all the makings of a riot. It's got the police in gear. They're throwing pepper spray and pepper balls and trying to break up large crowds. But then it's also a big party because it's just beautiful people and everybody's smiling and have a good time. It's like you're seeing the best apocalypse ever.
A wild Friday night on South Beach, from women dancing on top of a cop car. In the aftermath of what witnesses describe as an unruly crowd dispersed with pepper spray by police, two officers injured.
Why do you think there's so many people who want to be here, you know, during spring?
Because there's no restrictions here, or at least people don't give a.
That report comes from Local 10. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer. What?
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What?
For our next Florida story, we're going off the coast of Florida where we're having an issue with manatees. About 400 have showed up dead already this year, and that's about what they get for a whole year normally. And there's not one big reason they're dying. It just happens to be a couple of bad things happening at once. But this is almost a specifically Florida story. In the United States, manatees only live like on the coast of Florida and then about a couple hundred miles west and a few hundred miles north on the coastline there. So it's kind of Florida. You know, this can't happen in Nebraska or Montana doesn't have a problem with manatees. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
For our next Florida story, we're going to Stuart, Florida. We're at a gentleman's club. One of the dancers was making significantly more money than two of her colleagues, and they were getting a little jealous. They started getting snippy about it. So some words were exchanged. And one of them got hit upside the head with an empty beer bucket. I always find it hilarious how they can call it a gentleman's club, but all kinds of seedy little trifling violence happens between very questionable members of society. And if you're less gentlemanly than, say, your average Olive Garden, you shouldn't be able to call yourself a gentleman's club. You should be like a creeper club or a skeezer club. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What?
For our next Florida story, thanks to Ryan for sending this one in. The FBI has tracked down another one of the protesters that stormed the Capitol on January 6th, and it's another one from Florida. Who would have guessed? And whether it be this guy or the rioters that have been tearing up Portland for like a year or whatever, you know, kudos to them for getting involved. I would never get in my car and drive dozens of hours to go protest for a political cause. I'm too lazy to sell the little chocolate bars my kids bring home from school. Stay tuned. Today's second installment of Florida Stories is right around the corner. Florida Stories is a Spring Rock production, springrockmedia@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter at James Parker Show. For Sterling on Sundays, I am James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
All right, you're listening to Sterling on Sunday. It's 39 past the hour, and there's Jim Cardacci, who drives an Uber or a Lyft, but he's often in Florida. And right now, our show is on Florida Man Radio, 660 in Orlando. And the best thing about this, besides the fact that they air the show on 660 in Orlando, is that they air it three times. I think Ed Till's on that station too. They air it three times. Thank you very much. you and I are talking about many very important things, but we're talking about the thing that people deny that they care about. They all say, I don't care about Megan. I don't care about the British royalty. Who cares what goes on there? And then they know exactly what was on the TV, the Oprah Winfrey interview. They know exactly what happened. And I say, these are a bunch of great big phonies. The lack of sensitivity of a billionaire and two millionaires to whine about anything is unacceptable. And for Megan to say, well, you know, they didn't take my mental illness seriously, and Piers Morgan didn't take my mental illness seriously. If you want us to take it seriously, then why don't you don't do interviews, take millions and millions of your dollars, hand it to people who have mental illnesses and can't afford to buy milk. Hand it to mental health organizations and institutions. Tour those institutions like Geraldo Rivera. Make sure those bathrooms are clean, that those doctors are qualified. You mean this? Then act it. Ed in St. Louis, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. You called in at 888
well, thank you very
688-WALT. Hi, A.
It's very hard for us to wake up every morning during COVID and say, gee, aren't I lucky? I mean, it's just a tough thing. But let's put something in perspective at this time in March, and that is what Ireland and the Irish people were going through 100 years ago right now. They were closer to independence than ever before in 750 years, and yet they were still being overwhelmed by the British Empire, and they were fighting the battle everywhere, and they had a great spokesman here talking to the American people, challenging us, not begging, but challenging us to step up and recognize them, not just for Ireland, but for every oppressed people on the planet.
What?
Weedos.
Thank you very much for your call. 888-688 WALT. What was he talking about? I'm married into an Irish family. I'm not so sure they should have had their independence. I'm not so sure that they were prepared for that. I'm still not so sure they can handle it. Really. You know what's the coolest thing about Ireland? Not Northern Ireland. Ireland. They have pirate radio stations. And rather than the way we deal with pirate radio stations, radio people like you who go and put on a frequency, get a transmitter, they go on the air, and they broadcast. James, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. You know about the pirate radio stations in Ireland?
Yeah, I only know about the old ones, you know, from like the 60s and stuff, more in England and that sort of thing.
All right, well, here's the thing. So I was consulting a company in Dublin. And we were looking at the ratings, and they were going da-da-da, and, of course, the pirates. I went, what do you mean the pirates? Well, it turns out that the pirate radio stations in Ireland show up in their rating books. And I'm, like, outraged, like an American would be. And they go, no, it's part of our culture. The pirate radio stations are part of their culture. They don't shut them down. They don't torch them. And usually they're owned by nightclubs and restaurants as promotional tools. They might be on 3 or 4 hours a day and introduce the music that's played at those clubs. And, you know, the commercial broadcasters in Ireland, they don't care. They think it's fine. I think it's fine. I don't know why anybody would chase some goof in Brooklyn to turn off their power. Now, this is James Copeland. He's in a Winnebago in Arizona, right?
Correct.
And you're doing mornings for some reason at what station?
KLPZ, 1380 AM Country in Parker, Arizona.
You're in Parker, Arizona. Now, I think this is very interesting. You're doing mornings at this radio station owned by a mom and pop. And what was your relationship with the radio station before you started doing mornings?
So I called on them, you know, a little sort of a business call to sell them some nice remote broadcast software, and then I ended up going to lunch with them, and then I ended up coming to their house, and now the Winnebago is parked in their yard, and now I eat dinner with them and watch Seinfeld and Lonesome Dove. And then I just got back from the county fair where we had our RVs parked there, and I was doing overnight security at the county fair, which they got me the job doing that. So, yeah, it's just one thing kind of leads to another. And apparently them taking random listeners, I guess like myself, out to lunch is a fairly common occurrence.
But it's not a common occurrence for them to take in random listeners and allow them to live in their house.
Correct.
For some reason, you have weaseled your way into their home. Describe the home to us, please.
It is a double-wide trailer, but if you've never been in a double-wide trailer, you would never know it, like, when you're actually in it, because it looks like a house. So, you know, it's just two, you know, trailers that are put together, essentially. But, you know, now they call them manufactured homes because they really have pretty much no resemblance to actual trailers. But they've got that. They actually have a couple of horses out back. And, you know, the you know, Keith and Juanita are their names. And, you know, we're on their deck that they have built onto the, you know, side of the house. And Keith was looking around at, you know, his whole estate and said, just look at this. All this came from radio. That point is a chimney. That point to the horse. He's like, all from radio.
It's a very interesting career move on your part to actually move in with the owner of the radio station. I can't see myself moving in, for example, with the Field family, who own WPHT in Philadelphia and hundreds of other giant radio stations. I don't see that happening. It's an unusual move on your part. How long do you think you're going to stay there before they say, you know, maybe you need to go to the Motel 6?
You know, it could be tomorrow. It could be in 2 weeks. I don't know. I just take it on a day-to-day basis.
Now, you grew up in a very nice, stable home. Your father was an engineer. He was the engineering family on YouTube. He was one of those guys. And do they know you're living in a double wide?
Well, yeah, they're just doing it's kind of fun there. Yeah, they they're kind of letting me do whatever.
Now, your partner in broadcast software, the makers of QGo Live, which is the best remote software, your partner just came back from Dubai, and he returned home today. Were you worried about his safety in Dubai? Because, you know, he is a smart mouth.
Oh, yeah. No, you know, I think he can hold his own. You know, that's kind of his thing, is traveling internationally to countries that, you know, most Americans would, you know, scratch their head a little bit about, or maybe have a little pause upon maybe picking up a travel guide. But no, yeah, he has no problem. And yeah, I don't really know how he gets around the language barriers sometimes in all these random places in Dubai, nonetheless. But yeah, he manages to do it.
My wife, my current lovely wife, we've been married 20 years, holy crap. My wife only had one rule back when I wore a suit and I consulted media companies, which was, you are not going to Dubai, because she was certain, and I believe she was right, that I would disappear. If I went to Dubai, I would disappear because, you know, I say stupid stuff. And or as my mother would say, not everyone's going to think you're funny. And if I went to Dubai, I would be surrounded by people who do not think you're funny. James, I know it's very late for you because now you're doing the morning show. What city is it again?
Parker, Arizona. Population, what, like 3,000 or something like that. And the listeners bring in all sorts of stuff. I mean, they brought me cheese the other day. They said, oh, I really wanted James to have some cheese. So some guy brought in smoked cheese, and then people bring in cakes and pies and, you know, all sorts of things. And it's just like, and Tez, and, oh, Peeps. Well, so someone comes in every day and brings us a different flavor of Peeps on the air.
Which subject, which topic have you brought up that you feel was a home run, that you really, you're so glad you brought it up because it could resonate with the listeners?
The subject of Tez. So I was with
Pez.
Owner's wife. So we had just watched a Seinfeld episode about Tez, you know, little candies. And so then I was with the owner's wife, Juanita, in the Walmart, and we saw like a bunch of Pez for Easter. And so I said, oh, we got to get some Pez. So we got two Pez dispensers. And then we had a contest on the air to see who could fill the Pez dispenser the fastest. And they're, like, actually really hard to load. I don't know why they make them so hard to load. And then we got this whole bit going on Pez. And then my parents ended up sending, like, a huge package of Pez in. And then everyone's calling in about Pez and all this sort of thing. So it seems to be quite popular.
Is there a Pez flavor that you are fond of?
Chocolate. They have chocolate Pez. They
really?
Also have cola flavor. Excuse me, cola-flavored Pez. Man, I have a Pez caught in my throat.
I always found that disgusting. I like the cherry ones. Is there a Pez dispenser of which you are proud to own?
I have a reindeer one, which I think I just borrowed. And then the new one that I have is a sheep. So you got a sheep, and then there's also Keith has the bunny one at the station there too. But I think it's a racket, honestly, because it's pretty easy to find the actual Pez dispensers, and they come with three packages of Pez. But it's actually quite hard to find the whole Pez refill. So I think Pez is just trying to get you to buy more dispensers because there's probably more money in that.
And trivia question: you can win any bar bet anytime. You will win it with this trivia question. What was the first item sold on eBay? It was Pez dispensers. It was originally set up for Pez dispenser collectors. That's how that company started.
There you go.
You seem overwhelmed. Well, congratulations on making it to
say. I'm overwhelmed by that factoid.
Yes, yes.
It's like the same kind of level as what I believe the first ever barcode was on a pack of gum, if I'm not mistaken. It's that kind of level trivia question.
Congratulations on making it to St. Patrick's Day. I call St. Patrick's Day, April Fool's Day, Valentine's Day, DJ holidays. Oh, and moving the clock ahead an hour. Today, on every radio station, every break, a DJ figured that they'd relate to the audience by talking about, now remember, spring ahead today. Remember, it's fall back, spring ahead, morning zoo. And these are phony holidays made up for morning zoos. Thanks very much, James. I appreciate you doing for everything that you do for Sterling on Sunday. It's 52 past the hour, 52 past the hour. Coming up, we have another Florida story. Plus, at 6 minutes past the next hour, you are going to hear about an astonishing ocean monster, something that exists and can be heard, but nobody has seen. You won't believe what this is. That's in seconds on Sterling on Sunday.
This is Velo Hool of Muskegon, Michigan. My freshwater shrimp are disappearing in my aquariums. I'll tell you why. Later tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
You're going to hear about it coming up, and you're going to see a movie about it here in the next few years. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. This absolute horror story of a shooting spree is coming up on part two of Florida Stories.
Clothes so dingy gray they've been given up as hopeless have turned so radiantly white again, they can hardly be told from new ones.
Now we return to Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, you and I are together tonight driving across the country. There's a blizzard in the Midwest. Dr. Dave has more information about that coming up. Plus, Florida Stories Part 2 and the usual edition will reveal a sea monster that is terrifying. Complete details about that coming up in just seconds. And Velo Hool with a fishing report. There's no other network show that has a fishing report. My number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Who was this man? What was it?
Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling.
Looked at radio and saw a household possession. Capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Join the Walter M. Sterling Club.
Sterling on Sunday weather from Boston to La Jolla. This is Dr. Dave. Weather headlines tonight include heavy snow, strong winds, and blizzard conditions in parts of the Rocky Mountains and moving through neighboring parts of South Dakota, southern Minnesota, and northwest Nebraska. This storm will cause difficult, if not impossible, travel through tonight into tomorrow. Isolated strong to severe thunderstorms and heavy rains will threaten parts of Kansas, Missouri, and down into Texas and through the southeastern Gulf states. Cheyenne, Wyoming, and Denver, Colorado will see at least another foot of snow tonight, setting all kinds of snow records for this winter, especially for the month of March. The storm will weaken as it moves east, but yet another storm may threaten the nation's midsection by later in the week. More about that later when I talk to you next. I'm Dr. Dave Iser, staff meteorologist for Sterling on Sunday. Next weather at 6 and 36 past every hour on Sterling on Sunday.
It's 808-808 at KFBK in Sacramento, KXNT in Las Vegas. Welcome. This is Sterling on Sunday. It's a live radio show. There are no other live radio shows right now. You know what's on right now? The Bitcoin show. Do you have any idea what a Bitcoin is? I didn't think so. Let me get this straight now. Bitcoins are from imaginary mines created by probably a guy in China who nobody knows what his or her name is. No one's ever met him. And then they're invisible. Now I'm supposed to do well with these coins, and I can't go into the drugstore and buy anything with them. What? It's the stupidest thing I ever heard. Fairy dust currency. Crazy talk. There's a monster in the ocean. A giant monster that makes a unique sound that they first heard about 2002. And it's called the loneliest whale. And now Rachel Goldstein Shabazz has an exclusive report.
I'm Rachel Goldstein Shabazz, and this is the usual edition from Public Radio. Public Radio constantly monitor whales. We track whales around the world to learn their deep ocean language and how they communicate. At Public Radio Oceanography, we have 43 oceanographers on staff, and we found one whale we'll call 90 megahertz, a whale traveling alone until now. I shall interview 90 megahertz, who is now living in our Public Radio aquarium, which is replenished with bottled water. Good morning, 90 megahertz. You're speaking so well. Are you enjoying your time with us at Public Radio, 90 megahertz? And now that you've been discovered and have friends, has your life improved? So authentic. So glad we can now communicate. Let's bring in Blind Jim for team coverage of the blessed event, finding 58 megahertz. Jim, as a blind man, do you hear subtleties in the whale's speech?
Well, Rachel, I hear the pepperoni. I threw at him last night.
This edition of The Usual Edition is a gift from the industry that makes plastic holders that wrangle your beer cans. And from the styrofoam industry, we believe in permanence for the earth. And by colorful plastic bags. Now, music from A Tiny Mind.
They call him Flipper, Flipper, faster than lightning. No one you see is smarter than he. And we know Flipper lives in a world full of wonder, lying there under the sea.
So growing up, I went to a very she-she summer camp, very she-she, private school, all this stuff. And I was very public, public school. I was the public school scholarship kid. And one day when we were going to camp, I was very upset. I said to my father, I was like, Dad, everybody goes to these fancy places when summer is over. They go to St. Bart's, they go to St. Tropez. I was like, we go to Jones Beach, Dorney Park if we're lucky, you know, a two-door Ford Explorer from 1991. One of the doors doesn't open, the windows you have to slap down, the radio was stolen, and the engine you have to disconnect every time you park it type of beat. And he was like, listen, don't stress. This is what you tell them. You tell these kids you go on vacation in the Isles of Gristides. This is Gristides, a supermarket chain in New York. He said, these kids, they'll never know it's a supermarket because they don't go to supermarkets. Just tell them you'll be in the aisles. And so that's what I did.
I love him so much. Is that the best? The Isles of Gristiti. I'm Walter Sterling. The name of the show is Sterling on Sunday. We were talking about that stupid interview that Prince Harry and Meghan did with Oprah Winfrey. There are three multimillionaires sitting there talking to each other about their problems. They have no problems. My problem is that the gallon of gas has gone from $2 to $2.79 in 6 weeks. How interesting. That the gallon of milk has gone up a quarter in 1 month. Those are my problems. And to hear this woman sit there and complain that she wasn't protected, that the older monarchy did not protect her. Hey, Oprah, do your job. Why didn't Oprah say, protect you, Meghan? Protect you from what? What is it you needed protection from? Because the walls of those castles are very thick. They're well guarded. What did you need protection from? The Daily Mail? Was the Daily Mail giving you a hard time? Was Piers Morgan giving you a hard time? Oh, my gosh. I believe that the reason Piers Morgan stormed off that set of Good Morning Britain, note that it was about at his fifth anniversary of hosting Good Morning Britain, it would seem to me that his contract was probably up. And they may have been starting to negotiating it or had just stopped negotiating it, but it just happened. And maybe the negotiations weren't going well, or maybe they weren't going to give him more money, and maybe he was going to walk anyway. And he got his excuse, a dramatic way to keep attention on himself because he's a great showman. He understands that all controversy is a gift. If you're in show business, you're host of Good Morning Britain, you're Piers Morgan, and you can stir controversy, you win. This is something that most broadcasters have forgotten. Most broadcasters have forgotten that when you have controversy, people are talking about you, worrying about you, concerned about you, all offended, you win. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday.
Sunday is treat day.
Coming up in just seconds, you and I are going to hear Florida Stories, the second edition, plus Velo Hool with the only fishing report on network radio. And Dr. Dave Iser, a real meteorologist, with the update on the weather conditions in the Midwest. Yes, they're having 3 to 4 inches of snow in places like Kansas City and Denver. It's generally shocking. You know what? Tonight was the Grammys. I've never understood the Grammys because I don't understand what's the best record versus the best song versus the best album. What's that about? It makes no sense. And the fact is that the Beatles never won a Grammy while they were making hits, and neither did this person. How is it possible that Debbie Gibson never won a Grammy? I find that personally offensive. Did Hanson ever win a Grammy? 20 years later, Hanson is still performing the best damn concerts you've ever seen. You want to have a good time? Go to a Hanson concert. You'll know all the words. They start on time, end on time, and good luck getting tickets. Now, tonight, Harry Styles apparently committed a social crime.
Olivia Wilde and Harry Styles are sparking dating rumors after they were seen holding hands at a friend's wedding over the weekend. A source tells People they were in Montecito, California for the wedding and were, quote, affectionate around their friends as they held hands and looked very happy. The source adds that they've been dating for a few weeks. The pair are also seen holding hands in their formal attire and masks in photos obtained by Page Six. They were later photographed at Harry's Los Angeles home with luggage in tow. Their outing comes weeks after People reported that Olivia and her longtime partner, actor Jason Sudeikis, had split in early 2020. The pair first...
How long do you think that's going to last? Harry's going to go, what? What? You have children? Yes, yeah, she has two kids by Jason Sudeikis. They were engaged for 8 years, had two beautiful children. I think they're 2 and 4 years old. And now You think Harry's going to be changing diapers, taking them to school, dropping them off at their private school? You think he's going to be picking them up from the nanny? You have seen no photographs of Harry with the kids, and you will not see any photographs with Harry with the kids, because what did she do? She ran off with the band. That's what she did.
I mean, this is crazy. Get rid of it.
I just think that you said it just to be stupid.
All right, now tonight at the Grammys, Harry said something that got him bleeped by CBS. And now everybody on social media is wondering, what did Harry Styles say? What did Harry Styles say that got him bleeped? Well, it turns out that in Australia, they didn't bleep him. Harry apparently said the F word, and they didn't bleep him in Australia. Do you want to know why? Because Australia is a civilized country. And if I'm a talk show host in Australia, I can say the F word, I can say BJ, I can say the S word, I can say any of it in Australia. When I got off the airplane for the first time in Australia, in Sydney, Australia, and I turned on their number one radio station, 2GB in Sydney, the first word I heard coming out of the speaker in the taxi cab was the S word. And nobody was like jumping off the Sydney Bridge. There was none of that. Nobody cared, because they're an adult, civilized country. But here, oh my gosh, they had to bleep Harry Styles because he cursed. In many other countries that were broadcasting the Grammys, they did not cut it. We're crazy. I mean, like, we're really stupid with how sensitive we are. And what worries me is that as time goes on, we have become more sensitive. And I'm not talking about, you know, being PC and all that. I'm just saying it's as though our whole country has lost its sense of humor. And that worries me, because my mother said to me many times, not everyone's going to think you're funny. And that means that every day fewer and fewer people think I'm funny, which puts me in the jackpot all the time. I'm pretty much in trouble all the time. When I was working, I was like 22 years old, and I felt entitled, and I felt I deserved a participation trophy for going to work. And I went home one day, and I said to my father, who had worked all his life, I said, Dad, you know, it would be really nice if I could get a thank you note. It'd be great if I could get a thank you note from my boss, from the radio station where I was working. It'd be so nice if I could get a thank you note. Long silence. And he looked at me and he said, did you get paid this month? Did you get paid? No, he was more clever than that. He said, how often do you get paid? And I said, every 2 weeks I get paid. He said, you get paid every 2 weeks. That's your thank you note. And he repeated it kindly, sweetly. He wasn't harsh about it. He just said, that's your thank you note, Walter. You got a paycheck. And he was right. And ever since, I've looked at the paycheck as my thank you note, because it does go away. It can go away. I saw something on Facebook that led me to think about this sensitivity and about what has been forgotten. And I'm not trying to sound like an old man. I can do that at any time. But I got to tell you, where did this go? Here it is. On Facebook, a person posted a note from the program director of WLS in Chicago in 1968, a genius named John Rook. And this is what John Rook sent to all of his employees at WLS when it was like the number two station in Chicago. Now, I am very grateful to WLS because it was on Sterling on Sunday. They put on Sterling on Sunday the very first week that Sterling on Sunday was available. Thank you, Peter Bolger. Thank you, Peter Bolger, the program director, for putting us on Sterling on Sunday on WLS, which covers pretty much wherever there's a storm in the Midwest right now, like this giant, insane signal that they've got. This was the memo the program director sent out in 1968. It said, WLS Award for your information at the 5th Annual Radio Programming Conference, held in Las Vegas this past weekend. WLS was awarded a trophy for Best Radio Station of the Year, signed by John Rook, Operations Director. Let me review. It said, for your information, this is to all employees, for your information, at the 5th Annual Radio Programming Conference held in Las Vegas this past year, WLS was awarded the trophy for Best Radio Station of the Year. This was in 1968. It was usually like the number two or three radio station in Chicago, Chicagoland. That was posted on Facebook. And I figured it's about as neutral a thing you could post on Facebook. It created a storm of controversy. What was the controversy? What was the controversy? About 30 notes later, they tended to agree that there was a big problem with that note. It did not say, thank you for doing a good job. It did not say everybody should take credit and feel good about this. It did not say to all of you who came with me to this conference, wasn't it great to win this award? Suggesting that maybe most of the staff would have gone to this conference, that the company would have paid for it. It was a matter of fact, this is what happened. But all the people today, not in 1968, all of the people reading it today on Facebook were very, very upset that this note in 1968 did not say, thank you for a good job. I appreciate your hard work. There was no pat on the back, no compliment. But in fact, you see, they kind of missed the point. Looking at it from their 2021 perspective, they missed the point, which is that the fact that the staff was informed of the award at all was a compliment. The fact that they got to work at WLS in Chicago, our very first affiliate, was the compliment. The fact that they got a note from John Rook, a genius, that was the compliment. That was all missed. Now today, there's a belief that everybody should say, good job, participation trophy, pack on the back. That's great. Let's all go to lunch and celebrate. That's what they think should happen. And as a result, the level of sensitivity is great. Many, many people today, just in the past week, have been all offended that they were not properly complimented, involved, included. The staff of Teen Vogue is furious that their new editor-in-chief put out stupid tweets when she was 17. They want her to resign, not caring at all about the fact that she's apologized twice, that she needs a job, that she has a right to work, that the people who own the magazine think it's good she's there. Condé Nast is a privately held company owned by the Newhouse family. They all believe that she should be there. They'd like to deprive her of her livelihood for something stupid she said, in her opinion, at 17. Did she commit a violent act? Was she released from prison? Is she on parole? No, she said something stupid at 17. Now she's up to be, she is the editor-in-chief of Teen Vogue, but whatever she said at 17 is going to be held against her the rest of her life. Also true of almost every sportscaster I can think of. In the past year, it seems as though almost every sportscaster in America has been chastised, suspended, fired for saying something stupid. Coming up in just seconds, you and I are going to hear about the latest on the snowstorm in the Midwest from Dr. Dave Iser. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday weather from Boston to La Jolla. This is Dr. Dave. And it's been a warm weekend in the Southeast, and that will continue for another day or two. Atlanta was in the low 80s, and Orlando, Florida, got to almost 90. But this will end soon enough, with Georgia struggling to get out of the 50s by Wednesday. This colliding cold air mass, helped out by a strong jet stream and an upper-level low-pressure system, sets the stage for heavy thunderstorms with large hail and possible tornadic activities in cities like Kansas City, Wichita, Kansas, Oklahoma City, Dallas, Little Rock, Arkansas, and then moving into New Orleans, Nashville, Birmingham, Alabama, and the Florida Panhandle. Meanwhile, it's more rain in California and a 30% of light snow in Fairbanks, Alaska, with temperatures in the single digits at night and afternoon highs in the teens. This is Dr. Dave saying, beware the Ides of March. I'm Dr. Dave Iser, staff meteorologist for Sterling on Sunday. Next, weather at 6 and 36 past every hour on Sterling on Sunday.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. Welcome to part two of Florida Story. For our next Florida story, we're going to go to Miami-Dade County. I'm just going to read you the headline. Wild night, colon, women twerk on police car, two officers injured. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What is it?
For our next Florida story, we have a Florida man who pulled up at a gas station, almost hit the gas pump, didn't even pull his car into the little lane correctly to get gas, stumbles out of his car, and then he's leaning on the outside of his car, and immediately someone calls the police. Cops show up pretty quick. He's leaning on the outside of his car, kind of half asleep, and cops say, are you driving this car? He goes, no, I don't have the keys. The keys are literally in his right hand. Do you have some ID? So he says, sure, right here. And out of his pocket, he pulls out a box of gummies. They're called dank gummies. The cop says, did you just hand me marijuana gummies? And he says, no, that's just regular candy. So the cop looks at the label. It says it has THC right here. He says, those aren't mine. And I will cut to the chase. If you see the mugshot that's in the story posted at clickorlando.com, he looks like if Cheech and Chong were the same person. He looks so high. I'm getting a contact high from looking at his photo. He looks so high. You're getting a contact high from hearing me talk about his photo.
Wait. Hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What is it?
All right, for this Florida story, this is not a fun one. This is not kind of kooky or creepy. This is an absolute horror show. We go to Local 10 for the report.
My nephew shot my daddy and my sister. Now I just heard about my sister's son supposed to be dead.
There was a verbal dispute inside of the residence that escalated and led to shots fired.
According to documents, Williams became upset when his grandfather confronted him about smoking pot and other substances. Williams responded by shooting his grandfather and aunt, the victims jumping from a second-story window just to escape. Exclusive surveillance video shows a neighbor helping the injured woman. Meanwhile, Williams went to the kitchen, shot and killed his cousin, later went upstairs and shot at two more adults who were able to protect themselves by hiding inside a room with their four kids. Police say Williams also shot and injured a neighbor's barking dog, then tried to escape by holding a woman at gunpoint and forcing her to drive him around for hours. Police eventually caught up with Williams and placed him under arrest.
Yeah, I think I appreciate my Saturday a little more. I thought it was kind of mediocre and boring, but you know what? Wasn't so bad compared to that. Florida Stories is a Spring Rock production, springrockmedia@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter @JamesParkerShow. For Sterling on Sundays, I am James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
The minute anybody does anything that's perceived as unacceptable, inappropriate, they have to apologize or they have to gather their things and get out of the building. This nonsense with Governor Cuomo, in my opinion, I'm sure he did something that made the women uncomfortable. But the fact is there's no proof. The fact is that these women are saying this happened and we have to take them seriously because they're women. If Governor Cuomo says, I didn't do it, we don't have to pay attention to him at all because he's a man. That's the situation. But sportscaster after sportscaster after sportscaster, and as you know, I hate sports, except for Trevor Lawrence. I think Trevor Lawrence has the most astonishing hair I've ever seen. And Terry Francona does the best press conferences I have ever seen, the manager of the Indians. That's all I know about sports. No, really, that's all I know about sports. Every sportscaster, it seems, in America has had to apologize. When I see those promos on ESPN for SportsCenter, they're always wacky and crazy. We're out of control. We're crazy guys. And then when one of them acts crazy, they're fired. The company issues an apology. Disney issues an apology. My gosh, this is horrible that this man said weenie on the air. Whoa, whoa. That's the problem. They're all so self-serious.
We need to get you dressed.
The mistake, however, that company after company makes, radio station after radio station, TV station, any public feature, any public person says something stupid or offensive, or God help them, makes a tweet that's offensive. Every company does the same thing. They issue a formal apology. They make the poor person apologize in public, in a press release, on their show, whatever. They have to apologize. When they apologize, at that moment, it is etched in concrete. It becomes a permanent fixture in the culture of that city, that community, that station, that newspaper, whatever it is. The minute they issue an apology, it's permanent. It never goes away. Meanwhile, if they ignored it, if they didn't publicly apologize, they didn't do a public shaming, if there was no public shaming, it would just evaporate. Nobody cares. I have to pick up my kids. I got to get the dry cleaning. We're running out of milk. Oh, my gosh, I can't believe what butter costs now. $5 for 4 sticks. That's crazy. There's something in the oven. My kid's getting out of school. I got to pick them up on time or they'll be traumatized. What did your sportscaster say? Nobody cares. Nobody cares except the HR people. Step one, get rid of the HR people. We don't need them, don't like them, nobody trusts them. Bad idea. Get rid of HR. In the 60s, there was a book that started with, first, get rid of the personnel department. It was called Up the Organization. And the first line in that book said, get rid of the personnel department. And they were right. First, get rid of the HR department. What they want are public apologies. And the worst thing you can do as a public relations effort is to do public apologies. Dumbest thing you can do. The person never escapes it. It never gets better. It's the wrong approach. What you do is just ignore it. For years, I had profit and loss responsibility for giant radio stations and media companies. For years, people were embarrassing themselves all day on the radio, all day, often at my encouragement. And when there were complaints, when there's trouble, we ignored it. And it went away. I have seen one broadcaster say a very specific thing about a person, and another broadcaster say exactly the same thing about that person, working for two different companies. One was horrified and apologized, and they never recovered, and they got fired. The other company, and I'll be happy to tell you off the air, the other company ignored it, and nothing happened. Said the same thing about the same person. One company apologized, never lived it down. The other company ignored it, and nothing. Nothing happened, because we're not that big a deal. And most of the things people hear on the radio or on TV, they're like, what? What did they say? They didn't really hear it. They didn't hear it. But the biggest mistake these companies make, of all type, all sizes, is to demand an apology by the people. The other thing they do, I am a broadcaster. I'm not a tweeter. I'm not a social media genius. I'm a broadcasting genius. And don't let me tweet. I've seen entire media companies go out of business because of one stupid tweet. I've seen radio stations be lost by their company because of one stupid tweet. And yet those same companies are sitting there saying, well, you know, as part of your job, you need to tweet. Why? Why am I supposed to fuel another corporation? I don't own Twitter. Do you own Twitter? No. The radio stations I work with, they don't own Twitter. Why should I support them? Why should I support these companies with my content? My content is unique and proprietary. Why should I give it away? What good does it do me? It does me no good. The only thing I've seen happen by most broadcasters who take the time to tweet is they get fired. They get in trouble for their tweets. That editor-in-chief at Vogue, She got in trouble for his social media, not for standing in front of a conference room at Teen Vogue and saying stupid things. No, for something she said at 17 on Twitter. I would love to see what you're looking at. Do you have one of those overpriced iPhones? Whatever you're looking at right now, I want you to take a picture of it and send it to me at WalterMSterling@gmail.com. WalterMSterling@gmail.com. Take a picture, send it to me, WalterMSterling@gmail.com. This will be one-on-one communication. All right, it's Sterling on Sunday. Let's you and I talk. 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. Coming up, I'm going to share with you the 10 best things about being an introvert. Because if you're listening to me on the radio right now, which obviously you are, you're an introvert. Normal people, outgoing, handshaking, fraternity rush people, don't listen to the radio at this time. This is Sterling on Sunday.
This is Velo Hool of Muskegon, Michigan. My freshwater shrimp are disappearing in my aquariums. I'll tell you why later tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Let's go, go, go with Jukebox Gold.
Now back to America's favorite network radio program, Sterling on Sunday.
All right, it's very exciting to be with you tonight. I can't believe there are 3 or 4 inches of snow in the Midwest, in Missouri, in Denver. It's shocking, and we'll have more updates from Dr. Dave Iser, meteorologist with Sterling on Sunday. My phone number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. I love doing this show. I hope you enjoy doing this show with me. The only way it works is if you and I talk with each other. Ellen in Philadelphia, welcome to Sterling on Sunday.
Hello, Walter. Oh, brother, all that snow is headed this way. Oh, enough already. Well, you know what?
It's enough already. It's been freezing.
No, it's cold.
It was 30 degrees in Ohio today. What the hell?
I don't know. Geez, enough. Stop. But you know what? On the bright side, you know, I look forward to your program every Sunday night. It's appointment radio.
Thank you.
I love. Well, it's true. You know, I wouldn't have said it if I didn't mean it. Mm. And Judy's. I think she's from Texas. Her silly joke. I missed it. But you know, I look forward to that too. And so does everybody else who listens and tunes in. You know, I'm listening to you on WPHT in Pennsylvania, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I know there's at least two, but you know, you've got a fun show, and we really do appreciate it. Because you know, we're insomniacs, most of us, or working graveyard. And
well, we're misfits. Are you working? Are you working?
No, not tonight.
All right, but you work at night.
Well, yes, sometimes. You know, I'm a caregiver. But, you know, you do what you got to do. And
did you get your shot?
No, not yet. Why is the East Coast last? I mean, I don't know. We're not a sanctuary state. Sorry, people who are, but, you know, we count too. You know, what the heck?
Yeah, but you're a sanctuary city.
Well, Philadelphia is.
Right.
I live in the suburbs. So far, no dice.
Yeah. Now, listen, I'm glad you brought this up, and I appreciate the call. Thank you very much, Ellen. I appreciate you listening to 1210 WPHT in Philadelphia. I got my COVID shot last week. In order to get that shot, I had to drive 50 miles west to a Rite Aid in the middle of a field. I'm like, where's this Rite Aid? There was nothing around. There's a cornfield. There's a Rite Aid. Nothing else around. I go into this place. Very nice Rite Aid. Better than the one near my home. Except, wait. There's a Rite Aid within walking distance of my home. Were there any appointments available there? No. I got in touch with a big university hospital system. Were there any appointments there? No. I'm still on that waiting list. I got in touch with another hospital system. Any appointments there? No. What else? Discount Drug Mart. No, nothing. I was on the list for 3 different places. Finally got a shot at a Rite Aid 50 miles from my home, and I'm going to have to get the second shot at the Rite Aid 50 miles from my home. Now, mind you, it's a nice day. My current wife and I, we drive 50 miles. We go out. We go to a bad sandwich place. Worst coffee we ever had. Best sandwiches we've ever had. No, really, that's what happened. And I got a shot. That's stupid. Why is this a third world country? Why do I have to travel 50 miles for, like, water and a shot? And in many places, they sit in line in a parking lot between those driver cones. Why? Why can't I go to my primary care physician? Gives me a chance to get the blood pressure check, the blood sugar check, get the shot at my primary care physician. There are 900,000 working physicians in America. Why can't I go to my doctor and get the shot? It makes no sense. Does it, Jim? Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hi.
Walter, thanks for taking my call. Hi. Well, hey, we would like a Dorothy report, a Dorothy update.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much for the call, Jim. My 18-year-old is at Syracuse University, and she had a tough first semester. It included her boyfriend being killed by a campus bus. Therefore, wherever she goes, she sees those buses, and it can easily and quickly bring her down. The good news is that she has focused and done what she needed to do to get to pay attention to her schoolwork this semester. And she is doing so much better. I am so proud of her. And she was on the show, 2 weeks ago? She shared about that. But she's gotten focused. She got her ADHD under control. She's able to do her work. She was always able to do the work. She was just overwhelmed by it. And now she's doing great, and I'm very grateful for that, and I appreciate you asking me. Well, we have a lot more show. We're going to go over the 10 things that are great about being an introvert. Plus, I have been through landlord hell, and I need your advice about how to deal with landlord hell. And I'll share that with you coming up in just seconds. Plus, what else we got? Velo Hool, Vic Ferrari with a great true cop detective story. It's fantastic. I'm trying to think. There was something else about Dorothy I needed to tell you, but I can't remember what it was. I'll think of it in just seconds. What else have we got? We have a lot coming up for you tonight. Velo Hool with the fishing report. Is there another radio show in America that has a fishing report? I don't think so. Plus, Dr. Dave Iser, meteorologist, will have an update on the amazing snowstorm in the Midwest. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Who was this man? What was he? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Join the Walter M. Sterling Club.
Sterling on Sunday weather from Boston to La Jolla. This is Dr. Dave. Weather headlines tonight include heavy snow, strong winds, and blizzard conditions in parts of the Rocky Mountains and moving through neighboring parts of South Dakota, southern Minnesota, and northwest Nebraska. This storm will cause difficult, if not impossible, travel through tonight into tomorrow. Isolated strong to severe thunderstorms and heavy rains will threaten parts of Kansas, Missouri, and down into Texas and through the southeastern Gulf states. Cheyenne, Wyoming, and Denver, Colorado will see at least another foot of snow tonight, setting all kinds of snow records for this winter, especially for the month of March. The storm will weaken as it moves east, but yet another storm may threaten the nation's midsection by later in the week. More about that later when I talk to you next. I'm Dr. Dave Iser, staff meteorologist for Sterling on Sunday. Next weather at 6 and 36 past every hour on Sterling on Sunday.
Yes, I'm J.J. Wilson with Drive Through Brew, the weekly program that examines the sad struggles of two hardly working guys who sell beer and snacks at a drive-through. Let's listen in as the manager introduces another dreary training video to his employee, Jake.
Hey, Jake, it's kind of slow right now. Why don't we do another module in your training course?
If you say so.
Grab a seat. I think we're up to Unit 12. Yep, this one's on potato chips. Can you see the screen okay?
Unfortunately.
Come on now, listen up.
While potato chips are undoubtedly the most popular salty snack, they can also be the most problematic for the sales associate.
Can I go now?
No!
Often, customers complain that an unopened bag of chips is only half full. If you should hear this complaint during your shift, politely explain that chips are sold by weight, not volume.
What's that mean?
Quiet!
If the customer doesn't understand, further explain that settlement during shipping is unavoidable.
Why are they talking about chips?
Just listen.
At other times, the customer might grouse that the chips are stale or broken. If that happens, explain that the manufacturer, not the retailer, is responsible for the freshness and quality of the product.
Jake, come back here.
I quit. I ain't wasting my life learning about no stupid potato chips.
Come back here, Jake! Tell you what, we'll move on. Hey, the next lesson's about beef jerky.
Will Jake ever return to the drive-thru? Listen next week when the manager says...
Jake, a lot of young people would jump at the chance to study that material.
And Jake says...
Name one.
That's next time when Drive-Thru Brew explores the boundaries of lower education.
10 minutes past the hour with Walter Sterling. It's time for the Midnight Misfits. Judy Anderson, Neil Paul, Dee Wells, all of my friends. John Kelly, who's in another country. I'm not allowed to say which other country he's in, and it's not Alaska. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. It's time for the Midnight Misfits. We don't fit in. That's why we're here. You're going to work on the third shift. Guess what? Most people don't want that shift. You and I want that shift. We're the night people. We're the people who gets the oatmeal raisin cookie left on the plastic silver tray from the birthday party that took place at noon the day before at work. We get the half-eaten oatmeal raisin cookie. We come in, and there are the vending machines. What's in the vending machine right now? Nothing. Some of those cheap crackers, maybe those cheddar chips that nobody wants, one stick of gum, nothing. That's our curse, but we love it. Have you ever seen a guy coming into your office building, your factory, into the Amazon warehouse right now to fill those vending machines right now? No. Because we don't fit in. They need the third shift at the hospital, the warehouse, but they don't want to think about the third shift. They don't want to think about us. They don't want to know about us. And we're happy about that. I don't want to meet the HR person. The HR, isn't it interesting that the head of HR is never in the factory, in the warehouse, in the school, in the hospital at 1 a.m. Isn't that fascinating? And yet they feel they have the arrogant right to issue memos to us about how to behave at 1 a.m, yet they've never been at the factory at 1 a.m. I find that amazing. Has the HR person for your trucking company ever hopped in the cab with you and drove for a while, a couple hours, just to see what it's like? No, they never have, and they never will, because they are arrogant. They are pretentious. Now, there's Danny. Danny used to live in a car. Then he started listening to Sterling on Sunday. And I said to him, you know what you need to do, Danny? You need to get out of the car. How's your life now, Danny?
1,000,000% better, because
it seemed like the Lord was really looking out for me, for what it's worth, because I was in Frederick, Colorado, that my car had been totaled in, and I was just a week, it's like the Lord just got me out of there a week later, and then I'm hearing about the snowstorm. And I came over here to Las Vegas for a friend, and I'm in a house, and I'm getting my life back together again. It didn't work out for me in Missouri. I'll just say a lot of abuse going on there. But at any rate, the Lord knew. He nudged me out of there. But it's just really amazing. And it's almost as if when you mention about us being the third watch, we're like the Dirty Harry, so to speak. He got all the stuff that other people, officers didn't want to deal with. But the Lord is just working his way through me. I've gotten out, literally out of the car. And the friend rented a car for me to get over here to Las Vegas. And I'm going to make the most of it for the Lord and for myself. And wanted to let you know another blessing. I just received a report from the district attorney office from Stockton, California, regarding my father passing away by cop. And so I got some closure from that. And I'm just waiting for the next blessing from the Lord.
How did
and
your father die?
You, thank you.
How did your father die?
Well, to make it short, he was a Pentecostal preacher, and he had been preaching for over 50 years. And I hope you're sitting down. His wife left him for another woman in the church that they were attending, and he stole a gun, went down there to kill both of them in Stockton, and it misfired. And they called the police, and when they showed up, when the Stockton sheriff deputy showed up, he was diagnosed with liver cancer, only given 4 weeks to live. And he pointed the gun at them, and they did what they were trained to do. I mean, when all this rioting stuff was going on, I could have very easily, you know, if I wanted to try to create some hay, throw up some sand, but wouldn't have done me any good, because it wouldn't have taken much for them to bring me down. Only one of me, but the Lord's gotten me through it. And I just, with the thing that got me through, Walter, was my mother and the Lord while I was in that car. You know, Deuteronomy says that's a terrible thing when a person falls and there's no one to pick them up. But the Lord has picked me up with the help of my mom and the prayers of my mom and the Lord while I was in that car before she brought me to Missouri. And then I, you know, for social harmony, you know, now I'm here. And the Lord's continuing to lead me, Walter. I didn't mean to get off subject there, but you know, there's more details to it, but I know out of respect for people waiting in line, waiting to speak with you.
Did you get the shot yet? Did you get the vaccine?
Not yet. I've been moving around so much, Walter. I'm going to get it. I mean,
Daniel.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Stay sober. Stay clean. Listen to the show, and thank you for the update. I appreciate the update. Thank you for calling very much, Daniel. 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. This is a live radio show on a Sunday night across America. It's an honor to be with you. I'm Walter Sterling. The name of the show is Sterling on Sunday. More coming up in just seconds.
Live from the laundry room, it's Sterling on Sunday.
888-688-WALT, 20 past the hour, 20 past the hour. We're going into the third shift, going into Monday. The hours, the clock went ahead an hour. That's every day. All disc jockeys had to talk about today was how the clock changed. They're going to talk about it tomorrow morning. This is how it's going to go. Oh, were you able to adjust to the clock change? That's quite something, isn't it? Oh, I didn't set all my clocks. I was late for this. Stupid. You can do better. I haven't talked about it at all. St. Patrick's Day coming up. Also won't be talking about that. A DJ holiday. Jenny in New Jersey, welcome to Sterling on Sunday, 888-688. WALT is my phone number, 888-688-9258. Jenny, hi.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking the call. I'm just curious about something. Marvelous Marvin Hagler died today or yesterday or whenever. He's 66 years old, and none of the mainstream media is talking about it. And I'm wondering why. Would it be because his best friend said that he was dying in the hospital from complications of the vaccine? Is that why they're not talking about it?
What are the circumstances that you have heard about his death? Tell me
exactly
about
what I told you.
Okay, so
exactly what I said. And his wife is saying, well, you know, he just died. Whatever she said, she wouldn't mention it. I'm just wondering why the mainstream media wouldn't pick that up. They picked it up about Hank Aaron. They picked that up. But they're not talking about this guy. And this guy's pretty famous. I'm not a sports fan, but I heard his name 100 times. And I'm just wondering what the deal is here, you know? Why aren't they talking about that?
Well, let me tell you. When people look for conspiracy theories within the mainstream media,
That's his best friend. That's not a conspiracy theory. That's his best friend said he got the vaccine and he went into he had to go to the emergency room. His best friend.
Right.
He's not making that stuff up.
No, I agree with you. But I wouldn't go looking to mainstream media as conspiring to not talk about it. You want to know why? Because the mainstream media people aren't that bright. They don't talk to each other. They don't coordinate their efforts. If you knew them as well as I knew them, you'd be like, what, these guys are in charge? These women are in charge? I don't think so. Jenny, where do you live?
New Jersey.
No, where?
Mount Laurel.
I grew up in Maplewood, New Jersey. And the thing that you and I know is you and I know how pizza is supposed to taste. The minute you leave Jersey and parts of New York, it's terrible. I mean, it's really terrible. And there are no better beaches at the Jersey Shore. Which beach do you go to?
Wildwood Crest.
Exactly. Those are the best beaches in the world. There's no reason to move out of New Jersey ever. You want a big city, you go to New York or Philadelphia. That's 20 minutes. It's not a big deal. Oh, you and I live in the best place, and I thank you very much for your call. At 24 past the hour with Walter Sterling, 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. Oh, what a good show tonight, and it's because of you. It turns out that you and I are introverts. What are introverts? They're people who get this. This is a very important phrase. That gain energy from being alone. The longer I'm alone, the better I feel. My mistress in my marriage of too many years is solitude. That's my mistress. If I can be alone, I'm happier every second. The curse is that at some point my kids will want to see me. Once or twice a week, at some time when I'm with my kids, I think, when is their real father going to pick them up? When is their dad going to come and get? And oh, gee, I'm their dad. They're never going to go away. They're always going to be my kids. I love my kids. I enjoy my kids, but I need time alone. I need my current wife to say to the kids, come on, let's get out of the house for a day. Let's go on a road trip. Let daddy rest. Isn't it bizarre that on Father's Day and Mother's Day, the father's reward is to get the day to spend with the kids? Why is that? What? Wait, on Father's Day, I'd like to be completely alone. On Mother's Day, I don't see it as a gift to mom to take the kids away from her. Why doesn't she get to spend more quality time with the kids? Wouldn't that be an appropriate Mother's Day gift? I think so. However, introverts like you and me, we gain energy by being alone. There are a lot of misconceptions about introverts, like that they are antisocial or unfriendly, shy or lonely. But in many cases, being an introvert can actually be an asset. Being alone is kind of like a battery charge, and then they can go out into the world and connect really beautifully with people. It turns out that you and I are very good listeners, which must be why I'm a superior talk show host. I'm a very good listener, apparently. We are very good listeners. Why are introverts very good listeners? We tend to be the friend or colleague you can call when you're upset or have good news to share. We're going to be able to listen and be with you in that without turning it around or making it about ourselves. That's the worst thing, isn't it, when you confide in somebody and they turn it around and make it about themselves? We think before we speak because introverts typically feel less comfortable speaking than they do listening. They choose their words wisely. We only speak when we have something to say, so there's a higher chance that we will have an impact with our words. We are observant. In addition to our superior listening skills, my superior listening skills, we notice things that might not be noticed by other people because they're talking. We make quality friends. Since introverts can feel their energy being drained by being around other people as opposed to extroverts who gain energy being around, introverts choose their friends wisely. They would rather have a few close, trusted friendships to invest their time and energy in as opposed to a large network of acquaintances. I can't think of anything more exhausting. You know, it'd be the most exhausting thing to me is to go to dinner with 6 people. 7 people, 8 people. The most comfortable, wonderful thing for me is to go to dinner with 1 other person. We make loving, romantic partners. Introverts crave personal space to reflect and refuel. Therefore, they can sense when their partners need space too. Because we have this need for our own privacy, we give that to others as well. What a gift we give. We are thoughtful networkers. Being in a large group where the goal is to meet, talk, and make a good first impression can be overwhelming to many, especially introverts. But we can use our natural strengths to create meaningful connections. Extroverts may approach networking events with the goal of talking to as many people as possible, but often those conversations are meaningless. We're compassionate leaders. We're a good boss. You have a boss who's an introvert, that's a good boss. And that's it. Those are the key traits of being an introvert. Positive things, but the line I like, the definition is, we gain strength from being alone. And that's true. It's probably why I didn't get married till I was 90, because I knew it would just sap every ounce of energy from me. It would be an exhausting experience. All right, coming up, I have Velo Hul with a fishing report. Vic Ferrari, a retired New York City police detective with a true detective story, and you at 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT, and I need your help. I have a landlord problem, and I need your help. It's a giant network radio show. Don't you feel the power of this radio show? And Dr. Dave has an update on the snowstorm in the Midwest, Sterling on Sunday.
Where you're hearing things.
Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday weather from Boston to La Jolla. This is Dr. Dave, and it's been a warm weekend in the southeast, and that will continue for another day or two. Atlanta was in the low 80s, and Orlando, Florida got to almost 90. But this will end soon enough, with Georgia struggling to get out of the 50s by Wednesday. This colliding cold air mass, helped out by a strong jet stream and an upper-level low-pressure system, sets the stage for heavy thunderstorms with large hail and possible tornadic activities in cities like Kansas City, Wichita, Kansas, Oklahoma City, Dallas, Little Rock, Arkansas, and then moving into New Orleans, Nashville, Birmingham, Alabama, and the Florida Panhandle. Meanwhile, it's more rain in California and a 30% of light snow in Fairbanks, Alaska, with temperatures in the single digits at night and afternoon highs in the teens. This is Dr. Dave saying, beware the Ides of March. I'm Dr. Dave Iser, staff meteorologist for Sterling on Sunday. Next, weather at 6 and 36 past every hour on Sterling on Sunday.
You're a dinosaur, Sipowicz.
I'm a dinosaur.
You jeopardize that collar because it sticks in your throat on first grade.
It sticks in my throat. How you got it?
Every white guy in the department with second grade thinks he should have gotten my grade promotion. Half of you guys think I got it on my back.
Hey, Walter, let me tell you a great story I'm working on. So what could go wrong with a hulking NYPD sergeant turned Elvis impersonator seek a disability claim? Well, it sounds like the start of a really good joke. Standing at over 6 feet tall and weighing in at over 200 pounds, the bronze bodybuilding Portuguese sergeant was the picture of health. When he wasn't in the gym pumping iron or manning the precinct desk, the swarthy supervisor could be found in Jersey nightclubs masquerading as the king of rock and roll. When Elvis manned the precinct desk, he was working the phones trying to book his next gig. With his hair slicked back and mutton chop sideburns, it was safe to say the Memphis Flash took his second career quite seriously, trumping his NYPD responsibilities. The able-bodied Elvis impersonator enjoyed his side gig so much that he decided to give up his NYPD career. The king was over the long hours, court appearances, and uncomfortable polyester uniform. Portuguese Elvis was trading his gun and shield for a guitar and diamond-encrusted jumpsuit. Elvis was done with police work, but the problem was he wasn't eligible to retire. Before Sergeant Pompadour could leave the building, he had to figure out a way to secure a three-quarter tax-free disability pension to subsidize his performing career. Suddenly, the buff sergeant began to suffer a series of mysterious injuries around the station house. It seemed like every week Sergeant Boo Boo was out on medical leave with another phantom injury. Every time the hulking sergeant was put back to full duty, he would inexplicably re-injure his back within days. The king seemed to find new and interesting ways to sustain injury. Slips, falls, and other unwitnessed acts of God made it impossible for the king of rock and roll's bad luck. It was no secret around the station house that Elvis the Pelvis was looking to acquire a disability pension. It got to the point where the cops in the squad didn't want to drive the injury-prone sergeant for fear of having to fill out a witness statement form for his latest and greatest injury. There are NYPD members who love to play the game of ping pong with the Health Service Division, and that's all fine and dandy if you're on the up and up with nothing to hide. If you're disabled, lying low, with the medical history to back up your claim, you'll eventually receive a disability pension. But when there's nothing wrong with you and you're carrying on like a mamalouk, you're going to get dumped. Limping around with a cane by day and swinging your hips by night is not going to curry favor with the NYPD's Health Service Division. While his disability case worked its way through the system, Portuguese Elvis continued to croon on weekends while staying in tip-top shape, pumping iron up until the day of his medical review board. On that fateful day, Elvis the Fractured Pelvis and his attorney, Colonel Tom Parker, gingerly walked into the Health Service Division. Dressed in a snug, fitting t-shirt accentuating every muscle, the normally boisterous lounge lizard quietly took a seat as the silver-haired doctors on the medical review board did a double take at the hulking sergeant. As Colonel Tom Parker started making his case, showing a never-ending list of MRIs and x-rays, one of the doctors jumped up, took his glasses off, and yelled, "I can't take it anymore." "What can't you take?" said the attorney. Your client looks like he's ready to compete in a bodybuilding competition. There's nothing wrong with his back," as the doctors and colleagues and the review board nodded in agreement. The hunk of burning love was denied a three-quarter tax-free disability pension that day, causing Portuguese Elvis to retire early from the department. Not deterred, Portuguese Elvis still swings his well-built hips for senior citizens in Atlantic City, New Jersey. So be sure to check out my new book, The NYPD's Flying Circus, Cops, Crime, and Chaos.
All right, it's the amazing Walter Sterling, very grateful to Vic Ferrari, retired New York City police detective, who every week on our show at about this time has an amazing story. He has a great story. There are all these stupid podcasts that reenact crimes. We have a real New York City police detective who shares the stories of his career. And he's a good guy. And he's in Florida, which is where you and I should be. All right, listen, I told you about a month ago that against our will, we had to move. Our lease had run out. Our landlord wanted his house back. I don't know why he needed his house, but he couldn't stay where he was. And in every state, every city, the landlord has the right to take back their property if they are going to live in it. And every court will support them. Our goal was to get our security deposit back. That's what we wanted. And to us, it was a significant amount of money. Therefore, my current, much younger, very beautiful, and very smart wife started cleaning. She cleaned for about a month to make sure it looked as good as it possibly could look. It was a nice house. We like living there. We were not going to leave. I was ready to sign, a 20-year lease just to stay because we liked the house. And for a lot of reasons, it's not a good idea for my kids to move. They need a stable home that's more stable than their father. However, we didn't have a choice. We had to move. We found a fantastic new home to rent. And I will rent the rest of my life because I'm in show business. There's no choice. All right, listen to this story. I love it when landlords say, we have to do a walkthrough. They love to use that phrase, walkthrough, you know, like they're important. My wife goes on a walkthrough with the landlord on our last day. Now, we had spent, we brought in a professional cleaning crew for 2 days to clean the place. 2 days. We put everything back where it needed to be. We brought in a professional handyman to repair the holes, the closets, everything, and make it look good. That's what we cared about. We wanted it to look the way it did when we rented it. The landlord walks through it with my wife, and he says, quote, well, looks good. It looks like it should. It looks like it did the way when we rented it. He agreed that everything looked good. To my wife on the walkthrough. And now a week goes by, another week. He asks for the address so he can send the check. Another week goes by. No check. Now we're up to 6 weeks. And I finally sent him a note saying, here's our address again so you can send the deposit check. Send it back. The email I got in a nanosecond after I sent that, 6 weeks, didn't hear from him, thought everything was fine. 6 weeks later, I get an email from him saying that his response to whether or not we're going to get a deposit check, I'm going to share it with you in just seconds. You got to hear this. And then I need to know what to do. I have no idea what to do because sometimes you get a piece of news that stuns you into inaction. And this stunned me into inaction. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday. Pay no attention to the noises in the background.
All right, it's Walter Sterling. Sterling on Sunday. The Grammys were tonight, you know. This year, the ceremony was dominated by Beyonce, who set a new record with 28 total wins for a female artist, and Taylor Swift for Folklore as Album of the Year. Megan Thee Stallion was also a winner with Best New Artist. Yeah, I'm fine. That was fun. Best New Artist. What else I got? Hold on. It sounded terrible, but really, I'm okay. But we lost our place on the Grammys. Well, I'll find it later. But anyway, Taylor Swift and Beyonce were the big winner. That's what we care about. Now, listen. We just moved out of a rental house. We were really hoping to get the deposit back because the move cost a fortune. Between the deposits, rental, U-Haul, we really needed the deposit back from the prior rental house. Our new rental house is great. Our new landlord is fantastic. But my current wife worked so hard to get the prior house in shape, it was really stunning. For example, we hired a professional cleaning crew for 2 days to go over every single surface in that house and make it look as good as possible. Well, this is the note I got back from the landlord when I said, by the way, where is the deposit? 6 weeks after he had done the walkthrough, and in the walkthrough, he said, it looks fine. It looks terrific. He said the overall house was completely dirty, almost as if it was never cleaned, especially the kitchen and the bathrooms. Many rooms, the closets were not returned to their original conditions. Get this. Many light bulbs needed to be replaced. Many holes in the walls were not repaired and needed patching, including the wood paneling that was drilled into. I don't remember any wood paneling. According to the lease, this is my favorite part, according to the lease, you must have had my permission to make changes such as adding a door. The sinks were clogged. Three sinks were clogged. on the second and third floor bathrooms, including the shower on the second floor. The shower was snaked and a few small toys came out. There was paint all over the back sunroom floor. There was paint and wax all over the wood floors. All the hardwood floors needed to be cleaned and refinished due to scratches and dents from the furniture. Many holes were drilled for Ethernet or phone cables. The entire front driveway, I love this, had oil stains that will need to be professionally cleaned. Radiator covers were broken and stained. Outlet covers were broken. Well, I got to tell you, my favorite part there was things that were said in the lease. We never got a lease. Repeatedly, I asked for a lease. Never got a lease. Drilling for things like the internet. This guy had Dish TV. He had Dish TV outlets, wiring, covers, ugly cable sitting in the various rooms, all for Dish TV. We didn't have Dish TV. I can't imagine a situation where you let five people live in your house for 3 years in a 100-year-old house and think nothing's going to happen. But the one thing I'm darn sure of, it was immaculate. It was professionally clean for 2 straight days. There was no standing water in the sink. There was no, the sinks worked fine. The shower worked fine. It drained properly. I spent hundreds and hundreds of dollars bringing in plumbers over the 3 years to make sure that everything drained. And if it didn't, it had never drained. But I've never heard a landlord say, well, you know, and you didn't replace all the light bulbs. Well, many of the light bulbs didn't work when we moved in. The fact that we never had been given a lease caused me hell in registering the kids for school. Because in order to have the school bus stop near our house, I had to be able to prove to the school system that we lived there. And that required a lease. I never got a lease. It was so embarrassing and humiliating that an administrator from the school, an administrator from the school actually came to our house to see if we lived there and if my children lived there. Have you had trouble getting your deposit back from a landlord in a rental? What did you do? My number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. I did not show my wife this email that we got from our prior landlord. There was much more in it than I've read to you. Because she worked so hard to get that house into shape. And she's not always in the best of health through no control of her own. But she did every single thing she could do to get it into shape. And here's this insult about, you know, the floors weren't in the same shape as you got it. And what was I supposed to do, refinish all the floors? They were not refinished when we moved in. The bathrooms were immaculate. The kitchen was immaculate. And now he's saying it looks as though it had never been cleaned. My father-in-law, the most successful litigator in the state of Ohio, says, you were never going to get that money back. This is the kind of note that sorts of sets it up that you will never get the money back. And that's too bad, because we paid him rent on time every month for 3 years, not a day late, exactly on the day it was due, for 3 years. And this guy was so unusual as a landlord, he insisted on mowing the lawn himself. Now, when I brought that up to you before, you said he mowed the lawn himself because he didn't trust us. That's too bad he didn't trust us. This is the kind of guy who really didn't want to rent the house. I don't know why he rented the house. It was very unusual. what should I do? 888-688-WALT. That's my phone number, 888-688-WALT. And my email is waltermsterling@gmail.com. But I'd prefer a phone call because I find it painful when talk show hosts read emails on the air. I'm not going to read you your emails on the air. If you have any information for you, that'd be great. Now, I have a Facebook page. I love to stay in touch with you in every possible way that we can. It's Walter M. Sterling at Facebook. Walter M. Sterling at Facebook. Oh, and I have a Twitter account because I want to lose my job. If you're a talk show host, a disc jockey, the surefire way to lose your job is to post things on Twitter. Listen, Mr. Corporation, do not ask your disc jockeys and talk show hosts to post on Twitter. We are not Twitter people. We are radio people. Good luck, people who are big deal influencers on Twitter doing a radio show, doing a talk show. They're terrible. It's god awful. It's a nightmare. Every medium creates their own stars. I'm a radio star. I'm not a tweeter star. I'm not a social media star. That's why talk show hosts, disc jockeys have trouble. We have trouble when we go to other medium because it's not what we're trained in. It's not what we're supposed to do. Every type of company in the world makes huge mistakes when they expect their executives, their performers, be sure to get on social media. Why? Why am I supposed to support Twitter? Why doesn't Twitter support my show? I'll tell you what, you want to do a trade? I'll post on Twitter if they post on my radio show. They buy ads on my radio show, I'll post on Twitter. That seems reasonable. Oh, my gosh. The greatest gift you and I can be given is a request for help.
And my classroom should be as well air-conditioned as your favorite bar.
Next Sunday. All right. Right. Stay bright.